This morning, as we continue with our series on the idea of seeking God, I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Psalm 42. And 43 is actually a very closely related psalm, and it applies as well. Some of the words sort of repeated, and it's just a slightly different way of looking at the Lord. Well, let's pray together this morning. Now, Father, we pray that you would help us to understand this whole challenge of what it means to have a soul that thirsts for you. And we pray for wisdom to comprehend your word, to understand what it really, really means to cry out to you. Help us to recognize these challenges, these things which are there, and then to do something about it meaningfully, effectively. We pray that you would bless us as we ponder this thought. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm going to talk about this whole idea of what it means to have a soul thirst for God. And in verse 2, for example, Psalm 42, we read these words, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." The question is, what does it really mean to have a soul thirst? Now, I don't know whether you... Let's work with the idea of a physical thirst. Now, sometimes a physical thirst can be very, very obvious without you really knowing it. I still remember the time when I was actually in the U.S. and I was... one of the afternoons, I was in town, and I went to a bookshop, and I came across a book that I wanted to purchase. So I went to the store, and I said, "And I'd like to buy this book." To my horror, I found that I could not say a word. Now, no matter what I tried to do, I couldn't say a word out. I couldn't voice what I wanted to say. Straight away, the man said, knowing that I was Chinese, I was not Caucasian, I was not American, he says, "Let me get you a drink of water." I couldn't figure out how that came about, but he said to me, "You need a drink of water." So I had a drink of water, gratefully, and then I was able to speak again. And he said that, "Listen, we have a delayed summertime, and this is hot, and it is going to be far more drying than you ever imagined. Over 100 degrees Fahrenheit, and it is that hot. And it's going to be very, very drying." I did not realize I could be that thirsty without even knowing it. And sometimes we don't know what our soul thirst is either. What is soul thirst? We don't understand it either, because we don't really understand physical thirst. And I mean, all of us drink because we have to. A cup of coffee, a cup of tea in the morning, and then sometimes we don't feel thirsty, we don't drink very much. Until my doctor said to me, "How much water do you drink?" Now, that was a bit of a problem. I said, "I drink enough." He said, "How much water? Tell me exactly." And he said, "Do you know that if you don't drink enough water, it will actually affect your kidneys and your creatinine level will rise up?" No, I didn't know that either. "You mean it will actually affect the creatinine level?" He said, "Yes, drink lots and let's do another blood test later on." See, I didn't know that this was going to affect me that badly. So I began to drink a lot. Then the problem, if you drink a lot at night, you cannot sleep the whole night through. You got to go to the bathroom half the night through. And drink in the daytime, don't drink at night, as if it helps very much. But there we go. I didn't know that what the thirst was. I thought, if I'm really, really thirsty, I need to slake that thirst. No, sometimes we don't know what it is. And sometimes we don't understand what a soul thirst either. What is a soul thirst? In fact, most of us are probably so dry, soul-wise, We don't even know that it's affecting you that badly. Right? We don't have a spiritual kidney. We don't have a, you know, we can't measure the creatinine level of the soul kidney. But, you know, but think about this. If you were to measure it, how would it turn out? Well, here is the psalmist saying, this is what I need. And this is important. Take a look at this. My soul thirsts for God. What is that? And it's a great challenge for us to consider what this really, really, really means. Well, okay, let's think about this very carefully. Okay? Now, of course, the conditions that cause the soul thirst are easily understood. These are the conditions. Okay? For example, he suddenly realizes that he's in tears. My tears have been my food day and night. They continually say to me, where is your God? Now, it may not seem like much, but actually it is important for us to recognize the times when we could be far more thirsty for the Lord than we realize. Right? Now, go on further. Take a look at another set. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me when you cannot sleep at night? When you worry for nothing, when tears come, do you recognize what these things are? Yes, they are conditions that may cause the soul to be thirsty, but they are indications that the soul is far more thirsty than you imagine. Right? Now, this is important for us to understand and to recognize because it's going to help us a great deal. Now, this is something that we want to look at very, very carefully. So when I hear Dr. Daniel saying, you know, Dad, Mom, 87 years old, and, having a lot of aches and pains. And I just suddenly had a projection. If I'm going to go in, and no need to be that age yet, but already beginning to feel aches and pains. And they won't go away. You know, many people think, well, you know, take this magic thing called acoxia. How wonderful it would be. You can take 90, 120, and you're feeling fine. Yeah, it may be. But not when you have kidney problems. Believe me, I take one pill of that. My creatinine level will jump. And it's not going to go down for the next 2-3 months until I dare not to touch it. And all the NSAID groups, medicine makes the same problem for me. So I basically cannot take that stuff. And it's good. It's, to me, it's magic stuff. You know, when I don't feel good, and knees are painful, my ankles are painful, and I take this stuff and I feel, hey, I'm top of the world. No pain. But my kidneys are going to be hurt very, very badly. So that's not good either. So what's the best thing to do? You know, this is where I recognize what I must do, what I can do, when it comes to a soul thirst. Maybe the Lord is saying to me, listen, you need to come back to me to quench that thirst. So instead of sleep, trying to sleep and you cannot sleep, and instead of doing the things you need to do just to try to get some sleep, you know, the best thing to do is to really say to the Lord, my soul thirsts for you, O God, you know, for the living God. And I think that as we minister to people, we're going to see these conditions coming. And these conditions are not going to go away. Now, condition station number one, for example, here's a scenario. And this is something that's going to be very, very, very challenging. Let's say that we are looking at illness. And if it's going to be something that is going to be challenging, it could be terminal and it could be tough, what do you do? And it can be tough, seriously. This is where our soul must recognize. Sometimes the soul thirst is allowed for by circumstances so that we will recognize our need for God. Now, this is something that we all need to be concerned about. One of our church members has a father who is suffering from illness, and it is going to be terminal. And in a matter of a single month, the cancer has spread rapidly. And let me say this, it can be very, very challenging. It can be stunning. It can be shocking. What would you do then? What would you do next? And it's important for us. We need the Lord. We need to seek the Lord. Yesterday, my son felt that he needed to talk. So I spoke to him. And he said that he was trying to make the best of it. But he says, my friend, you know, we go kite surfing together. You know, and my friend, he has got 3 children. 5, 3, and 1. My friend just died. They found him in the waters, unresponsive, and he just passed away. And he said, Dad, it hurts. This was my friend. You know, this is a young man who is doing well in San Francisco, and he owns several houses. And now suddenly he's got 3 children left alone just like that. And he hurts. And as he hurts, I hurt with him because he's my son. When I understand, I've spoken to this man. I had dinner once with him. And I understand his friends, my friends too. And I want to try and feel with him. And my own soul cries out to the Lord. My soul thirsts for the Lord. And we all have to recognize this. Sometimes God allows situations in our life to come. It could be illness. It could be, you know, suddenly you're told you're going to lose your job. What happens now? And 2016 could be a year where people are going to lose their jobs as the economy turns bad. As people, people can lose their jobs even though you may have a good banking job. You can lose it. What then? Ill health. What then? Whatever. Recognize the conditions and we begin to realize, you know something, I need God, and my soul thirsts for God. Sometimes we don't recognize the needs of the soul, so God allows these physical things to happen to us. So suddenly we begin to recognize, you know, there is something I need more in life than food and friends and family. I need God. That's where we begin to recognize this is soul thirst. It could happen at any time. It could happen to you right now. This could be a challenging week for you or the weeks ahead. And I think this is something that we need to look at very, very carefully. I had my son to go a blood test with me, So I told my doctor and I said, you know, I want to see whether my son has his B27 gene too. And so the test came back and he said to me, he says, this is your son indeed. He has the same gene. He has the same B27. However, he may or may not have ankylosing spondylitis, you know, but that gene is there. This is your son. It's likely that he's going to be challenged. Well, I'm glad that, I've been able to manage it, but it's, you know, we belong to the 7% or less in Singapore who have this rare thing here. See, this is the B27 club. But, you know, through all the pain, through all the things that will come unbidden, how does it work? This last few days, suddenly my ankle's painful. And I'm, you know, finding it, wondering, what did I do? Nothing. It just hits you there and then. It will probably pass after a few days, hopefully. Then suddenly you hit. Why is my spine painful? And it, not because I broke a vertebra in any way. It's just going to be a B27 attack. What do you do in all those moments? Recognize this is something that must speak to our soul. Recognize it. It's just like the song that young people just sang. You know, I long for you. I really want to be in touch with you. And I want to be there so that you can speak to my heart. So sometimes tears come. And tears is a form of relief. And after we have a good cry, girls do better than that than men. Girls just cry, okay. Men, very hard. And if they really, really cry, they can't stop, you know. It's really, really kind of challenging.
So not so easy. So men really take, you know, tough it out, you know, to take it in and don't shed tears. And I was told, boys don't cry, you know. Yeah, boy. And so on and so forth. But you know what? The better thing is to recognize what we need to recognize. That this is the soul trying to tell us something. You need God. And only God can really, really deal with that soul thirst. So this morning, if you are going through tough times and you're looking at, well, this is the time of despair, this is the kind of sorrow, listen, turn to God instead. How can we do that? How can we turn to the Lord? Well, this is something that we need to look at very, very carefully. Well, let's take a look at this very, very much. In verse 4, we read, he said, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. And this is important. Learn to pour out the soul to the Lord. Whatever it is that troubles you. Talking to God is so important. It don't just simply talk about, oh, please bless the Chinese New Year. Maybe it'll be a happy time. And those are pretty superficial stuff. Learn to pour out that heart, the soul before the Lord. That's the best thing to do. Whatever it takes, take time, pour out that soul to the Lord. That's one way of making sure that your soul will then be quenched. The Lord will give you that thing here. He needs us to talk to Him. Okay? It is very important. Pour out. So I went talk to my son and I said, son, this is what you can do. Okay? Find out exactly how your friend died. This is, we don't know. You know, he was on Hawaii. He was on holiday. And he just came back and he's dead. Talk, find out. Be involved in the life of the family, the three children. Be there. Sometimes you just need to grieve for a little while. And in the grieving, find some help, some closure, some meaning. And that's what we need to do as well. Do something. So I'm going to encourage him. He says, that is painful, and I know it is. Learn how to pour out your soul to the Lord. I think this is important for us to go. Now, here we go. Here's something else we can do. I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise and so on and so forth. What does it mean? One of the best things that we can do, that we actually have, is that, you know, we have got good memories. Sometimes we think of all the, you know, sometimes we don't remember. We must have had 10,000 meals in our lifetime. Which one do you remember? Nothing. You know, this is where we have to look at the memories that can be meaningful. In this case here, coming to church, for example. I went with them to the house of God. You remember? So I still remember taking a bus to the church when I was younger. Not this church, another church. And I always enjoy, you know, taking the bus. It was bus number 18. And not having to pay 25 cents. Can you imagine 25 cents for a bus? And then going there, just the joy of it all. And see people coming in. And just see people walking in. That's such a nice memory. Well, I want to create memories too. You know, I come early in the morning and this is so wonderful. I went to the house of God. Sometimes remembering happy things like that brings comfort to the soul. And we need to create those memories. Going to Bible camp, good memory. I don't mean to plug it, but you know, I am. And I want you to create memories so that you can say, you know, this is what I did there. And somewhere along the line, when you remember, those memories will actually help the soul. How do you help the soul? And this is one of the ways you can help the soul. Pour out that soul. Remember things. Things which are wonderful. Things which, you know, which are important. And they will help you. This is important. So I used to go with the multitude. And it will bring you back. Sometimes going back that way will actually bring back happy memories and bring about a refreshing of the soul all over again. So create good memories. Going to Shangri-La Easter is another one that I'm plugging, of course. Why do you think I want to do this? Not for the sake of Easter, for your own sake. So I remember, you know, last year, Christmas time, and you know, one small little girl came along and skipping to come and see her Kong Kong. That's me. You know, and that was so special. And it stays with me. So every time I think of Shangri-La now, I think of a little one there. These are small things maybe, but they can bring such refreshment, sense of refreshing to the soul. Do something, create memories, and it will help you. It will stand you in good stead. Okay, look at verse 5 now. This is very important. Okay, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Sometimes you need to speak to your soul. O soul, tell your old soul, but and I'm going to speak to your soul and say, why are you disquieted? Why are you so restless? Why are you so unhappy? Speak to your soul firmly. And it's so important that we need to do this. See, we don't even know that we've got a soul. Some people really think that there's no soul at all. Which is unfortunate. But that soul is a precious part of us. And it's good to sometimes to go that way, to tell us, stop it. You know, stop whining. Stop, you know, all the things which are so negative. Speak to that soul firmly. Why are you disquieted? You know, why are you cast down? No reason to be cast down. And sometimes that helps. Okay, that really, really, really helps. And of course, I like this part of it. So he tells the Lord, okay, God, my soul is cast down within me. You need to do that. Speak to the soul, speak to the Lord, and this is how it works. Well, you know, at a Bible camp coming up, I will be speaking about how we can improve our prayer life, how we can improve our prayers to God, and that we should. Take time out to learn vital lessons. And I like this, the part in verse 5, hope in God, I shall yet praise Him. Verse 11, hope in God. And that is one of the things we can do. Exercise that hope. So when there are times of pain and there will be pain. There's no, you know, sometimes we just look for a quick answer. give me a medicine that will take away the pain, but will not create problems for the kidneys. Okay, but it may affect the liver. Oh, okay, now give me medicine that will not affect the kidney, will not affect the liver in any way. Go straight to the pain, it's gone. If you ever find that pill, you will be a multi-billionaire immediately. It's not going to happen. It's not going to be there. You know, but this is something that we really, really want to do. What do we do? Hope. Hope is the very best medicine that we can have. You know, it's looking forward tomorrow. Tomorrow, today is a bad day. Tomorrow will be a better day, hopefully. And, you know, it's not just something that is false, just there. You know, I was hearing about an interview about the 42 young Mexican boys who were killed. And they've been working out. You know how many people were killed in Mexico a year? 27,000 people are captured and slain, and we know nobody knows what happens to them. 27,000, that's frightening. Suddenly these 40-something-year-old kids were taken and slain, and they want to ask why. And one line of inquiry is that these 40-over kids are all student teachers. And though there is almost nothing to look forward to in life, they represent the hope of the young people. One day life will be better. This is the way to go. Education is the way to go. We want to become teachers one day. For their efforts, they were all slain. They have not yet found their bodies till today. But you know, what a wonderful thought it is that there are people who are willing to try. They have not lost hope. They're going to try harder. And it is so important that we don't want to lose a sense of hope, Daddy. I had a missionary friend who was working in Bosnia. And one of the things that he said to me was this, that the greatest sense of despair came over Bosnia for a while. Nobody had anything to look forward to. People get up late in the morning. They don't want to even get up early in the morning. There's nothing to look forward to. They don't sleep until late at night. And so the next day they make up for it. Nobody gets up before 12. He says the sense of despair was so real. And even as I tried to minister to them, I felt a sense of despair creeping into my own soul too. So what do? Find hope. To keep that hope alive. We've got to look forward, to get to know God better, to see a greater sense of refreshing of the soul. That's what we need to discover and for ourselves here. And I think this is something that we can do. What can we do to help ourselves? This is why we go. I like this. And he says, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. Now, this is talking about, he's talking about creation. He's talking about how creation reminds him about the power of God, the majesty of God. Unfortunately, we cannot apply this to our hearts easily. So we come back, what do we see? You'll be building, or you'll be building. What do we see? I mean, nothing that is wonderful, our highways, not great in that sense. But you know, whatever it takes. For some, it is just going down there, and wow, I see this, I see creation, and I see nature, and I see the beauty of it all, and I am just reminded that this is what it is. Here is another way, verse 8. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime. In the night, His song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. And one of the ways which we can help ourselves is, here we go, sing. And one of the things I love about Bethany really is the fact that we can sing. You know, it's just such a joy to be able to say, you know, let's sing together. It is something that it can be our very way back to God. Our soul can find quenching of our thirst when we are able to turn our songs into prayers. And then you'll find that the soul is quieter, calmer, stronger, refreshed, and it becomes alive again. There are going to be many, many things that will challenge the soul of yours. And you will find that it's going to be challenging from time to time. You just feel so tired, so worn out, so listless. It could be physical, in which case it's easy, rest. But if it is something deeper than that, it is suddenly you're not making as much progress in the world as you hope, you know, and things are tough. And, you know, you could be losing your job. You could be anything. I mean, it could be tough times. What's the best thing to do? And the best thing to do is to go back to Psalm 42, 43, and practice what the psalmist did. Find your way back to God. Find the soul refreshed again in any way, every way. In hope, in prayer, in pouring out your soul, in the song, whatever. And then find the strength all over again to speak of your faith in God. May this be true for you as you seek God. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the joy and the challenge of truly knowing our faith a little bit more. We pray that you will speak to our hearts. Help us to find a soul that can be refreshed, that can come alive again. We think of the many things that get us down. Help us to use our soul and its strength, its hope, its faith in you to get out of these doldrums that we may find ourselves in. We pray for your blessings in Jesus' name.